Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church this morning. We are grateful for your presence among us, all of you who are here in person and those of you that are joining us online. I just wanted to let you know that I am struggling with my asthma. I know I sound sick. I am not contagious. I've yet again tested negative for COVID this morning. But just as an extra precaution, I am going to be wearing a mask if I'm closer to anybody. And we have handed out communion elements at the door. So instead of coming up close and me being really close to you and offering the words of the institution, we're going to have communion that way. I know it's not ideal, but we are grateful for the gift of these self-contained elements and masks and some of the other surprising gifts that the pandemic has given us. So if you do not have communion elements with you, can you raise your hand and we'll have the ushers bring them to you? We've got grape juice, gluten-free elements, and then the regular self-contained elements. Does everybody have some? Excellent. Thank you, Lynn. We've got quite a few announcements this morning. I want to give a big thank you to Joe Davis, who held down the fort last Sunday while I was on vacation. Thank you for preaching for us. I don't see him. There he is. Thank you for preaching for us. And if you will add Joe to your prayer list, Joe has a very large kidney stone that is going to need to be surgically removed May 24th. So please pray for Joe. He's had a really tough week. A couple of other updates to our prayer list. Carrie Fritz is on the prayer list. About a week and a half ago, he had a tumor removed on his liver, and he is still in the hospital. It's just been a long recovery. There have been a few complications along the way, and Friday night, I think it was, he was getting ready to maybe go home yesterday, but on Friday night, his heart rate went really, really high. And so now they're doing a few tests just to see what might be going on with his heart. So he's hoping to go home soon, but if you'll be continue to keep Carrie in your prayers. And then Myra Beck, on Friday, Myra Beck fell. Her kids took her to the emergency room yesterday. She's bruised and she's sore, but as far as we can tell from the fall, she's okay. But while she's been in the emergency room, they have found that her heart isn't getting all of the oxygen that it needs. And so they admitted her last night and are doing several tests to assess the function of her heart and what might be going on. So please pray for Myra and her family that they can figure out what's going on with her heart so that they can treat it. I hear that the silly dance last night was a huge success. I hear everybody had a good time. I've seen a couple of videos already. This was Tina's last silly event, and a little bit later this summer, we're going to have a time of recognition for all that she has done for silly, offer a prayer of thanksgiving, and then we'll hand it all over to Anna Clark, soon to be Nelson, who is getting married next weekend, Stephen and Anna. I just want to acknowledge that this morning, Jay Proctor is graduating from UNC. As I've said this throughout the week, there are some folks who can't believe he's quite old enough to graduate college, and I think that's how it is for a lot of us, that children don't keep, and all of a sudden they reach a milestone, and it's hard to wrap our minds around. And also yesterday, I think it was yesterday or Friday, William Curry graduated from UNCG. So some celebratory things going on in our church family this weekend. After worship, the fellowship committee has a couple of things for the mothers in our congregation. I think there'll be somebody at each door. There is the gift of this lovely book called Mother Prayer, Lessons in Loving, and then there is a flower for each mother. So if you are a mom or a mother figure in someone's life, please make sure that you get one of those gifts before you leave. The scholarship raffle has begun. Joe has his little box back there, and he's selling tickets, and he's also accepting gift cards for the basket raffle, which will be Sunday, June 12th. I would like to invite Hunter Hedrick up to make an announcement about the Bluegill Bash. We put this on our Facebook page this week, and it's getting ready to go out in our newsletter. But Hunter has created an event in memory of his granddad and would like to tell us about it.
So on May 21st from 9 to 12, we are going to fish in memory of Papa. It's $5 to fish, and that includes lunch. The food is being donated by Herbie Lohr from Southern Lunch. They're donating mac and cheese, peach cobbler, and hot dogs. And all the proceedings are going to the Men in Mission. And we would just appreciate it if y'all would come out there and help us raise some money and have a good time in memory of Papa. Thank you.
We'll be selling the tickets after worship today and probably next Sunday as well. The tickets are $5. A week from tomorrow is the Agape Women's Banquet. The deadline for RSVPs is today. So if you need to RSVP, please make sure that you see Kim or reach out to her by the end of the day. Tomorrow night is church council, and on Wednesday we have our finance committee. And we would like to invite Debbie Frank forward to offer an announcement about the chimes. I'll let her get started, and then I'll say a few words.
For a while, our family has been trying to think of what we could do with Mom's memorial money. We wanted to do something special for her. So a few months ago, I asked Pastor Anna if she would look around the church and see if there were any special needs that we could contribute to. She gave me several ideas, but one stood out above all the others that seemed just perfect for Mom. The church chimes are not working. They haven't worked for a while. They've been checked out, and they cannot be repaired. You really can't even buy parts for them anymore because they're way too old, so they can't be fixed. So we asked Pastor Anna if she would check on the cost of getting new chimes. As expected, the cost is pretty high. As a matter of fact, if we used all of Mom's memorial money and what's left of my dad's memorial money, it would only be a drop in the bucket to cover the cost of new chimes. Our family discussed it, and we decided, yes, this is still what we want to do for Mom. In memory of Mom. Mom's life was dedicated to serving the church, the community, and God with her gift of music. What better way to remember her than with new church chimes? The church and the community can continue to be blessed over the years with the gift of music. We have asked Pastor Anna to move forward with this project, and we will pay the deposit as soon as they can get started. We're going to do this in memory of Mom and Dad. We felt Mother's Day would be the perfect time to share with you our plans. Also, if anybody would like to support us in this project, you can by making a check payable to Holly Grove Church and put a notation on your check that this is for the church chimes. If at all possible, also, we'd like to do it by the end of June. Hopefully they can go ahead and move forward with this. And as Pastor Anna said, she can answer any questions. She told me about the chimes, and they sound pretty awesome. So she can answer any questions.
So we had someone come out to the church to look and see if they could repair the chime system, which was built in the early 80s. And at the time, it was state of the art, and it was absolutely incredible. But unfortunately, it's old enough that there are no longer parts to repair it, and that there isn't actually anyone in the United States who can even repair it at all, if there were parts. And so we looked into this new system. This new system would play over 600 hymns. We had the person come out and hook it up. It was absolutely beautiful. I had not heard the chimes before, and as soon as I heard that first hymn, I really felt like it would be a fitting way to honor Etta Lee. Unfortunately, I didn't get to be here when she played all those years for us. But for decades, she served as organist at this church and choir director in a variety of capacities. And I'm told that for most of those years, she would not accept a salary, that she wanted that all to be done as her gift to the church. And so I, along with her family, am hoping that we can come together as a church to contribute toward these chimes so that we can honor her and all of her years in service in a very fitting way, so that even though she is no longer with us in person, that the gift of music will go out into the community and that God will be glorified through the music that she will have helped contribute to this church. We have a couple of birthdays this week: Scott Black, David Brown, and Scott Varner, and Robert Napolitano and Kelly Carrick have a wedding anniversary this week. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the waters of baptism, we have passed over from death to life with Jesus Christ, and we are a new creation. For this saving mystery and for this water, let us bless God who was, who is, and who is to come. We thank you, God, for your river of life, flowing freely from your throne, through the earth, through the city, through every living thing. You rescued Noah and his family from the flood. You opened wide the sea for the Israelites. And now in these waters, you flood us with mercy, and our sin is drowned forever. You open the gate of righteousness, and we pass safely through. In Jesus Christ, you calm and trouble the waters. You nourish us and enclose us in safety. You call us forth and send us out. In lush and barren places, you are with us. You have become our salvation. Now breathe upon this water and awaken your church once more. Claim us again as your beloved and holy people. Quench our thirst, cleanse our spirits, wipe away every tear. To you, our beginning and our end, our shepherd and lamb, be honor and glory, praise and thanksgiving, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. O God of peace, you brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. By the blood of your eternal covenant, make us complete in everything good, that we may do your will and work among us all that is well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Acts. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the windows stood beside him, widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with him. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Word of God, word of life. The psalm is Psalm 23 and will be read responsively. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. You restore my soul, O Lord. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The second reading is from Revelation. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi, Sawyer. Good morning, Calvin. Hi, Kaylee. You coming over, Everett? Come on over. Hi, Maddie. Good morning. In one of the readings that we just read, it talked about the people who were worshiping God wearing robes of white. And have you ever noticed that every single Sunday for worship, I wear a white robe? Calvin, you've noticed that? Have you ever noticed that, Sawyer or Everett? Does the priest wear a white robe at your church on Sundays, Kaylee? Well, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but there is a reason for that. In fact, I think I've mentioned before that there is a reason why we do every single thing we do in worship. There isn't one thing in our sanctuary or in our worship service that doesn't have a reason for why we do it behind it. And the reason that I wear this white robe on Sundays, this robe is called an alb. An alb is loosely translated to being white in Latin. And so if you notice, always the assisting minister wears a white robe too. So the two people helping lead worship wear a white robe. I'm whistling. Are you whistling? Well, that's a lovely song. You can whistle too, excellent. So the reason that we wear these white robes is because when we were baptized, and I bet you if you look back at the pictures of when you were baptized, you are wearing maybe a white suit or a white dress, but you're wearing a white outfit of some sort. And when we are baptized, God washes us with God's love and makes us God's children and fills us with the Holy Spirit. And so we are washed and our garments become white. And so on Sundays, the assisting minister and I wear these white robes to help everybody remember that first and foremost, that we are baptized along with everybody else. And before I put my stole on and before I put my rope at my waist, I put on this reminder that I am baptized and that part of my baptism is to lead you all in worship and to care for you and love you. And so I thought, since it mentioned the white robes in today's readings about all of those who are baptized worshiping God in heaven, that it might be a good time to talk about why I and the assisting minister wear white robes on Sundays. It's to remind us and to remind all of us of our baptism and that we are all called to lead God's people and to love God's people. So if you ever want to look around our worship service or our sanctuary and think of something and wonder, why do we do that? You can always ask me, because I bet you there is a really good reason for it. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for our baptism. Thank you that you wash us in your love. And that you call us to love other people. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I get started with the sermon, I just want to acknowledge that as many mothers as there are in our congregation, there are also that many experiences of Mother's Day. And that although for many this is a very happy and celebratory day, for many of us it can be a very painful and sorrowful day. There are some of you here who this is your first Mother's Day without your mom present with you and your grandma. There are some who struggle to have children, and there are just a variety of experiences of Mother's Day. And so wherever you are, please know that you are being held in my prayers and that you are being thought of and that God holds you in God's love and care as well. So today is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and every single year on this Sunday, we read the 23rd Psalm, and we read a few verses from John 10, where Jesus talks about being the Good Shepherd. Every year as this psalm comes along, I like to just randomly ask folks what some of their favorite passages of Scripture are. And without a doubt, overwhelmingly, Psalm 23 comes up over and over again, both among people in our congregation and as I'm out in the community. My checker at the grocery store, I asked her if she had a favorite Bible passage, and she said Psalm 23. I think there are some reasons for this. One, it's probably one of the most familiar passages of our entire Scripture Bible. Maybe this and John 3:16. If no one knows anything else about the Bible, I think they are at least familiar with those two passages. And so I think that the familiarity of it is often comforting. It can be a balm for our souls in challenging and painful circumstances. So often we tend to think of the 23rd Psalm at the time of death or as someone is dying. It's often used in funeral services and memorial services. And as I've thought about that this week, I've thought about the other prayer that we often pray in funeral services, where that God who comforts us would help us to comfort others. I wonder if one of the reasons that people so often choose to have the 23rd Psalm at their funerals is because it has been a comfort to them in so many times and circumstances that they want it to be a comfort to those who are at their funeral service, that they want to comfort others by this psalm just as they have been comforted by it throughout the many times in their life. This is a beautiful psalm of trust. And I think even more than death and dying, this psalm has a lot to say about living, and that this psalm is about life and the God who carries us and walks with us throughout our entire lives. This beautiful piece of poetry reads like a confession as it opens by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." God being our shepherd is a very common image that we find throughout Scripture. In another psalm, it reads that God is our shepherd, that we are the people of God's pasture, and that we are the sheep of God's hand. This is a lovely image that we find often throughout Scripture. And I believe that Jesus knew this psalm and that he prayed it often. And that as he is talking to his disciples in John 10, he's hoping to conjure up some of the images of Psalm 23 in their hearts and their minds. That Jesus is using Psalm 23 to help his disciples and maybe to help us understand more fully and more deeply who he is as our shepherd. Jesus, our shepherd, leads us and provides for us and cares for us. Jesus provides for us by giving us rest, by sheltering us with his presence, protecting us with his love, and leading us in his goodness. Truly, our shepherd provides for us, and we lack nothing in God's love. Now, one of the things that we've gotten really confused about in our culture is distinguishing between wants and needs. They're two very different things, but we often get them quite confused. But truly, in God's love, we have all we need. But we forget this because we become so accustomed to providing for ourselves, and we often trust more in our own abilities than in God's love to secure our lives and our future. And too often, we are driven by greed instead of need. But day by day, God provides us with all that we need, food and drink and shelter. Perhaps one of the things that we can move toward is letting go of our greed, that we can refocus our priorities and learn to distinguish better what our wants and our needs are, and then let God provide for us. God, our shepherd, is with us every single step of our journey. We are never, ever alone. Sometimes it feels like we are, but we are never alone. Because Jesus, our good shepherd, walks with us in the midst of every trial of life, including the valleys that we endure of extreme darkness. There are places of deep troubles and fears in our lives. That's part of what it means to be human. But even then, in those dark valleys, God is with us and protects us and comforts us. I think it's important to hear that just because we are one of God's sheep doesn't mean that we are going to be steered away from troubles and trials and tribulations. In the Revelation passage for today, every single one of those people in heaven worshiping God had endured trials and pain and heartache. So our shepherd doesn't necessarily steer us clear of dark valleys. Instead, our shepherd walks with us through them. There is not one dark valley that God is not with us. We might shed tears. We might endure broken hearts. We might know unbearable pain. But our hope is that in the midst of all of it, that God is with us and that we are not alone. When enemies persist and threats abound, our shepherd is with us. And so we don't have to fear evil, because God protects us with God's very presence. And even in the darkest of valleys, darkness is not dark at all to God. In the darkness, God's presence overcomes the power of darkness. The darkness may not be changed, but God changes us in God's presence. Our good shepherd is also our great lamb, who with his outstretched hands was slain on the cross. Jesus knows what it is to walk through a dark valley himself and to endure indescribable pain and suffering. And because he knows what it is to be human and to walk through the darkest of valleys, he is with us, protecting us, providing for us, giving us his very presence. Brothers and sisters, this beloved psalm teaches us that in his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus restores our souls. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He accompanies us through danger and dark valleys, and he spreads his holy supper before us in the presence of sin and death, which he has conquered and defeated through his death and resurrection. None of us know what the future holds, and none of us is promised another day, but we do know that God holds us firmly and tenderly and gently in God's love and care, and that all the days of our life, God's love pursues us, that God's love and care will always, always encompass us. This is a beloved psalm for so many, and because it's familiar, it can be easy to skip over. But I encourage you to spend some time in the 23rd Psalm. Read it and let it become written upon your hearts, Memorize it so that as you are in dark times and traveling through dangerous valleys, that these words can be brought to your mind and your hearts so that they can be a balm for your anxious and weary souls. I'd like to close by reading this 23rd Psalm in the King James Version, because even if we don't have a King James Bible, I think we all know this psalm in that version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Living together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, Maker. Alive in the risen Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Gentle Shepherd, enable your church to respond to the voice of Jesus. Give us unfailing trust, unafraid to join in Jesus' work of renewing all things. Lord, in your mercy. Creating God, the earth praises you. The seas roar and the hills sing for joy. Fill the earth with your love so that by their song, all creatures of land and sea and sky, burrowing and soaring, may call us to join with them in praise. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful Savior, you conquer the world not with weapons, but with undying love. Plant your word in the hearts of the nation's leaders and give them your spirit, so that all the peoples of the world may live in peace. Lord, in your mercy. Seek out those who weep while they await healing or consolation. Set people in their path who can provide the care they need and wipe away every tear from their eyes. Restore and strengthen all people who cry to you for help, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, John, Mike, Latifa, Sandra, Jana, Carrie, Joe, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud or on our lips and silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, as a mother comforts her child, you comfort us. Bless mothers and mothering people in our lives. Comfort those who miss their mothers, mothers who grieve, those who grieve because they cannot be mothers, and those who have never known a loving mother. Lord, in your mercy. God of all peoples and generations, enfold us in the great multitude of saints from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Wash us in your saving grace every day, guiding us to your waters of life. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your gracious care. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share God's peace with those around you. Not today.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ dwells with us here. All who are hungry and all who are thirsty, come. And now the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated during the communion hymn. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia.